Hello, I'm Dudley Hall. We're talking about fathers and sons. The last verse in the Old Testament says that God is going to send Elijah before the coming of the day of the Lord, and that he is going to return the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the hearts of the sons to the fathers. Well, God's heart is still to do that, and he is doing it in our day, and we are glad. In this session, we want to talk about the marks of true manhood. How do we define manhood so that when we have a rite of passage and we call young men into manhood, they'll know what they're being called into, and they'll know if they really want to be called into it. I've determined to try to make it very simple and to put manhood in the context of three words, three big words, but simple words. The first one is integrity. The second word is responsibility. And the third is accountability. You'll notice that this acrostic is IRA. There are many guys trying to develop a financial IRA, an individual retirement account, but it's a better investment to invest in the lives of and the character of fathers and sons, and particularly in the father and the sons of the next generation, because they're going to be here a while. Great investment. Let's talk about these three words: integrity, responsibility, accountability. Integrity, first of all. Here's how I would define integrity. Integrity is what you believe is what you say, and what you say is what you do. The word means that it's you're thorough all the way through. What you see is what you get. Unadulterated is another way of saying it. You may have had an opportunity at some time to sit down at an old cafe and order some French fries and a hot dog or hamburger. Have them bring out the old ketchup bottle, the old red one, you know, with this screw top on it, and turn it up to squirt some juicy ketchup on your fries and find out it was a little juicier than you thought. Actually, it just kind of poured out in your plate. Well, when that happens, you know that you're not looking at ketchup with integrity. It's been mixed. A little vinegar, a little water in it makes it go further, makes it come out better, they say. Right. Point is, it's not pure ketchup. Well, there are lots of men who are not pure because what they say they value in their heart is not what they really believe, and what they say they believe is not what they really say, and what they say is not what they do. A man has integrity when he's flowing altogether, and that's when there's joy in his life. There's contentment, there's fulfillment, there's peace. Nobody enjoys living in contradiction. For instance, if you in your heart are rebellious and yet you have submitted to a conformity of religious style, you are not a happy person. Neither are you happy if you are righteous in your heart and you are trying to fit in with a group that's unrighteous. A man has to be true to himself. He has to be true to his heart. Now, that doesn't mean you're righteous to be true to your heart. A wicked man that's being true to his wicked heart is a man of integrity, but he's still unrighteous and he's still going to miss God. So what has to happen is we have to have God change our heart. And as he changes our heart so that the center of our heart is to glorify him, to love him, to know him, to enjoy him. And once that's our heart, then we want to make sure that we bring our mind in line with our heart. We want to believe the right things. And when we believe the right things, we want to say the right things. Now, there are some who try to get you to control everything by controlling what you say. I would agree wholeheartedly that what you say is important. But if you're not saying what you believe, and you're not believing what's in your heart, then you're just blowing wind. The words are useless. So we need to have our heart purified. We need to have our mind aligned up with our heart. And then we need to have our mouth lined up with our mind. And then lastly, we need to have our hands and feet lined up with our mouth. We need to do what we say. I've been threatening to write a book for a long time and entitle it, A Man Who Can Marry My Daughter. My daughter's not married yet, and she's encouraged me to finish that book and to put an application in the back. But here's a man who can marry my daughter, a man who does what he says, a man who uses what he has, and a man who follows Jesus with his whole heart. Now, that's a man of integrity. And you're not really ready to be a leader, a mature leader, until you're willing to commit yourself to integrity. That doesn't mean that we don't slip up. It doesn't mean that sometimes our hands do things that our mouth betrays, or our mouth betrays something that's really something we believe. And sometimes we act contrary to our heart. But the point is, your goal in life, your centered set, your passion is to be a man of integrity, a man who is true in his heart, true in his mind, true in his mouth, true in his hands and his feet. And so as much as he knows, he is trying to live in a straight line. That is, he's trying to line all of those things up. That's integrity. If we should all wait until we never messed up, nobody would ever get to be a man. But if you're willing to commit to that and say, that is my priority, I want to be that kind of man, and therefore I will submit to other men who will help me to be that, then you're getting close to manhood. Second word is the word responsibility. I want to spell it a little differently. Instead of using an I in the middle, let's use an A. A responsibility. The ability to respond. It means I have been given the power to do what I've been assigned to do. Therefore, there are no excuses. We live in a victimized world. It's easy to become victims in this world because it's easy to make excuses. We're much like Adam and Eve when God had told them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they did. And then he comes walking in the garden to find them and ask Adam, where are you? And Adam explains his situation, and he says, I'm over here hiding behind this bush. Why? Well, this woman you gave me. And then he said to the woman, why have you done this? Well, the serpent. Somebody said the man blamed it on the woman blamed it on the snake, and the snake didn't have a leg to stand on. Well, either way, it's easy to become a victim and to make excuses. It's not my fault. It's the fault of environment. It's the fault of my grandparents. It's the fault of my parents. It's the fault of the church. It's the fault of the government. It's whatever. But responsibility means that I have accepted the reality that I've never been assigned anything by God that he didn't grant the ability to fulfill that assignment. The interesting thing about the Word of God is that once the Word is spoken by God, with the speaking of the Word, there is the granting of the ability to fulfill it. When God said, let there be light, he released the power for light to come. We see it illustrated very explicitly in the life of Jesus. There's a man one time in his presence who has a withered hand. Jesus said to him, stretch forth your hand. The man could have easily said, don't mock me. I can't stretch forth my hand. I was born this way. It's crippled. There's nothing I can do. You need to learn to capitalize on my assets and overlook my liabilities. I can walk well. I can sing well. There are lots of things I can do with one hand and two good feet, but don't mock me about my hand. And yet Jesus meets us at the very point of our need, and he said to the man, stretch forth your hand. When the man believed Jesus, he chose to act on his word, and with the acting on his word, he was able to perform what Jesus had commanded. You see, all of Jesus' commands are really promises in disguise. When Jesus commands something, he is promising he'll do it for you if you will simply trust him. So anything that God expects you to do, anything he's commanded you to do, you have the power to do. You have the power to love your enemies. You have the power to forgive those who offend you. You have the power to rise above your background. You have the power to control your appetites. You have the power to renew your mind. You have the power to love and not lust. Yeah, anything he commands, you have the power to do. That's why when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, and he desperately wanted to walk on the water too, he requested of Jesus, command me to walk. Jesus gave his request and said, walk. Peter knew that when Jesus commands something, with the command, there's the grace to do it. That's responsibility. It means that you are no longer making excuses for not being and doing what you were created to be and do. Because the cross, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascending of the Holy Spirit has given to you everything you need for life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 3, first few verses. It means that another way of saying responsibility means that whatever is in my hand is the key to my destiny. Do you understand what I mean? Whatever's in my hand right now, whatever I have right now, however I choose to use it, is the key to whether my destiny will be fulfilled or not. If I don't use the brain that I have now, or the time that I have now, or the body that I have now, or if I don't relate properly to the friends that I have now, I am forfeiting the future. But if I'll use what I have now, though it may not be what somebody else has, if I'll use it, I'll get more. That's the eternal principle of God. And so instead of comparing ourselves with somebody else who may have more or less, we need to assess what we have and use it. What do you have? You say, if I were only 6'8", I could be great, but I'm only 5'10". Then use what you have. Well, if I were only faster, well, you aren't. Well, if I were only smarter, well, you aren't. Well, if I were only better looking, right, well, you aren't. But God didn't make any mistakes, and he has given you what you have. So take it, make the best of it. And if you are faithful in using what you have, God is faithful in multiplying and giving to you. Your destiny does not depend on your natural talents as much as what you do with what's in your hand. What are some of the most important things that are in your hand? Well, obviously your mind, your intellectual capacity. Use it right. Be careful what you put in it. Garbage in, garbage out. You keep on putting garbage in and you want something great coming out, you're fooling yourself. Another thing is your body. Handle it right. Your relationships. I don't have very many. Well, you got one, handle it right. Put everything you have into doing it right. Your money, very important right now that you handle your money properly. Your money, it's filthy lucre. It's not important. Oh, yes, it is. How you handle your money, Jesus said, will determine whether or not you can be trusted with true riches. Oh, it's true that money is not all that valuable in the eternal scheme of things, except it is kind of a test that God uses to see if we're really going to trust Him for everything. So handling your money is really, really important. How you invest back in the kingdom of God, how you save, how you spend, all of it is important. So, and these are things, by the way, that the earthly fathers and spiritual fathers need to help all of us young men know how to do. It's not enough just to send us to school, throw us a book every once in a while, tell us to get a job. We really do need to know how to be good stewards of everything that we have. Otherwise, we won't be responsible. The third word is accountability. Here's what I mean by accountability. It means that I know I will ultimately be judged by an all-knowing God, and I know I can't fulfill my destiny alone. Therefore, I submit to those who can help me get ready. Accountability comes from the fact that we realize that choices have consequences. God has given us the dignity, being made in His own image, to let us make choices that have eternal consequences. You can make choices on this earth that have consequences forever. You can choose to go to hell. I believe it was G.K. Chesterton who said, "Hell is the eternal monument to man's dignity." What he means is God will not override the consequences of your choices. He sets your choice before you, and if you choose it, it's yours. He does not say, "Okay, here's your choice," and you make it, and He goes, "Oh, well, that was wrong, and I won't count that one." No, they count. And choices not only affect you, they affect everyone around you. Adam, when he sinned in the garden, affected the whole world. God said the whole earth is cursed because of you, and Adam's work was cursed, and Eve had a curse upon her, and so the whole world was affected because of one man's choice. Of course, the good news is there was a last Adam, a next Adam. That Adam was Jesus. He made a choice too. His choice affected the whole world. Jesus chose to lay His life down, submit to the Father, become the sacrifice for our sin. He affected people that would live forever. In fact, He affected me, and I lived 2,000 years after that historical event. Affects you. So we see that in God's kingdom, choices have consequences. And because we know that's true, we want to make sure we make the right choices. Accountability means I know that one day I'll stand before God and I'll have to give an account for the choices I've made. Because I want to make the right choices, and I know that I'm not smart enough to make them all myself, I make myself accountable to those around me. I want my spiritual fathers to make me accountable. I want to submit to my brothers and my sisters who have gifts that I don't have, perspectives that I don't have, wisdom that I don't have. And I want to submit to them so that they can help me see through the issues of life and become skillful in my decision making. So accountability is absolutely essential. People who don't want to be accountable to the human really don't want to be accountable to God. We live with some kind of fanciful myth that we are smart enough to make it on our own without really relying or trusting in the interdependence that God's put in the community. Well, that's a lie. And a real man wants to make his choices right and good, and he wants to live his life to glorify God and fulfill the destiny God has for him as an individual. So he's willing to be accountable. He's willing to submit himself to somebody outside of himself. So here we have masculinity defined in three big concepts, but small words. Integrity means what you see is what you get. Means what you have in your hearts, what you believe in your heads, what you say with your mouth, what you do with your hands. Responsibility, the ability to respond. It means whatever I have been given, I will use to the greatest ability possible. I have been given the power to do what I've been assigned to do. And then accountability means I cannot fulfill my destiny alone. I must have help. And because my choices do have consequences, I want my choices to be good. Therefore, I submit to those around me. Now, these words, there could be many words added to help us understand masculinity, but I believe if we would commit ourselves to those three great concepts, that these would be things that mark us. That no matter what our size, what our financial station, what our intellectual quotient, if we would be men of integrity, responsibility, and accountability, then we would not be hypocrites, we would not be victims, and we would not be sloppy. We would be skillful. And the scripture says, you see a man skilled in his work, he'll stand before kings. What we're looking for are men who will not only stand before kings, but men who will be kings, who will rule in their station in life. Rule not by suppression and competition, but by service and completion. That's the kind of man God is looking for, and that's the kind of man you want to be. So would you make these three marks the goal of your life so they become a passion in your life? And would you help your brothers, whether they be younger or older, as they set this as a goal in their life, to be men of integrity, responsibility, and accountability? May God give us the grace to be this kind of a man.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.